Kevin Kevinson Show. Thank you for coming by. That was the biggest anti-climax going into that break.
That was pretty bad.
You know what it was? That was instant karma.
Why?
For invoking the name of our Dark Lord earlier. That's totally what that was. Being punished. I'm being punished preemptively for the horns across the...
Well, good thing we still have 11 days till it happens.
It's going to be fantastic. Again, you just close your eyes. We should totally have the photograph developed in, like, sepia tones. You know, so I mean, it's like, remember back when, so it is, I mean, sort of, it has that instant classic photo look to it. There's the whole Hawthorne Bridge just lined with people, throwing up the devil horns. It's gonna be fantastic. So that's coming up Tuesday, June 6th. So we have a lot of suggestions, people actually saying that we should put all the photographers on the boat with Paul because they noted that it's gonna be able to get a much better, like, a straight on shot of the side of the bridge as opposed to angling, which is how you, if you're down to, like, the, that Esplanade area. All right, 503-733-2970. So coming up in a few... I thought it was a joke, but no, he's standing right here.
He is in here.
Coming up... Good Lord. Coming up here in just a few minutes, I swear to Christ, we'll have the news with Scotty J at the City News Desk. Scott Daly...
Oh, look at those headphones he has on.
This is like $500 headphones.
Oh, my God.
Do you realize that Tim has been using the same pair of headphones, only one side of which works, and they're held together with masking tape for like 9 years? So, you're an intern. How can you afford those headphones?
I have a...
he has his mobile DJ.
I have
business.
A secret coffee can out in the backyard, yeah. Let's put it that way.
Right. Is this what comes from playing the chicken dance at weddings?
That's right. If you play...
You enough, do enough bar mitzvahs, this is what you're able to buy?
You do enough, the grandmas tip you. Let's put it that way.
You do enough.
I don't want to hear about the grandmas
She's a man
tipping
whore.
You. You're totally a man whore. You're the Job. Totally. When you're totally at the restaurant, hey, how would you like a sandwich? Come on. All right. So, well, let's play a little bit of this now. I've fixed the song. We'll play a little bit of this, then we'll go to the... I got to quit looking over there. You're dressed like lime sherbet, for one thing. Then we'll go over there to Scotty J at the City Desk. Then Scott Daly. Who,
Scotty D.
The rumor has it actually has a film to review today. Is that true? Yeah, okay. So we'll get to that. But we gave a big build up to this before. So this is the first single from the new Dixie Chicks album. This is called Not Ready to Make Nice on the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is.
Hear that huge booming Rick Rubin production right there too.
They're trying to say this isn't a good song.
I'm not ready to back down. Still mad as hell, and I don't.
was the new Dixie Chicks song, which you will apparently hear nowhere. Don't you go thinking for yourself. Yeah, there's no hook in that song.
Sounds good. Forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
There you go. That's called the Not Ready to Make Nice. That's from Taking the Long Way, is the name of that album. Yeah, there's...
I'm going to go buy that, too.
Yeah, there's no hook there. Boy, there's no catchy chorus in that song that the radio audience responds to. I can't imagine that anybody would find that song interesting or enjoyable
in
any way. Yeah.
Oh.
So there you go.
What are people so afraid of?
Well, apparently melody and strong production values, entertaining music.
Yeah, Toby Keith. Oh, I'm going to swear accidentally. I'm going to swear.
There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Apparently the explanation, by the way, that across the country, radio stations are giving us, that it's just not a good song.
Make sure to tell us.
It doesn't fit our sound.
We don't find that it fits the sound of this.
Yeah, being an empowered young woman these days, not so much.
I don't get embroiled in a whole, like, Dixie Chicks war. It can have nothing to do with that. You know what? It's just anybody who just gives a big F you. Anybody who just, you know, who won't shut up and gives a big middle finger, that's somebody I can get with. So there you go. So that's the new Dixie Chicks song. By the way, I did go out and buy that. I bought, just on the strength of that one song, I went and bought it. All right, there you go. All right, we got Scotty D. I got to quit saying that. Scott Dally coming up, filmfeverradio.com. I swear to holy Christ, we're going to the city desk with Scotty J.
That's right, high atop the bottom of the coin tower.
God damn.
In downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. This is Cub reporter Scotty J filling in for the vacationing Tim Riley.
Okay.
That's right. This is straight out of Spokane, Washington.
Please don't say straight out of Spokane.
A familiar place. Spokane residents are saying no to a new Walmart supercenter, but Initiative 933, headed from the November ballot, could make that kind of opposition to development more expensive. It would require state and local governments to either waive land use protections or make taxpayers pay landowners who can't get the development they want.
Do you have any idea what the story's about or what you're reading?
I do not.
Okay, you'll fit right in. No, that's fine. No, you're in the Tim. You're solidly in the Tim Riley groove, my young friend. All right.
It goes on to say Aaron Toso with the Community Protection Coalition in Seattle.
That's part of being a news person. You can just make up pronunciations for words.
That's right.
Don't be bound by the man's pronunciation of how words are written.
I'm going to say Toso.
Okay.
He's part of the Community Protection Coalition in Seattle. He opposes 933.
I don't know what we're talking about.
There is a soundbite there that...
I'm supposed to know that how? Here, I have it in front of me. Okay, you need to inflect upward. Here's how you have to do it. Can I see this for a minute?
Yes.
I'm just teaching you. Here's a little news trick here. All right, we got this. You got to inflect upward if you want to know, if you want to cue that there's a sound cut coming up. Aaron Toso with the Community Protection Coalition in Seattle opposes 933. And then, see, there you go. And it's the pause. So right before, pause. Do that last sentence again. But pause before you say opposes.
Right.
Put in a pause there and then inflect upward.
Aaron Toso with the Community Protection Coalition, rather.
Okay.
In Seattle opposes 933.
Most of these county and city governments are strapped for
cash.
So they'll waive most of these restrictions, making it easier for irresponsible development that is unplanned to pop up all over. All
but right. Supporters of the Spokane Walmart and the initiative insist that it's only right to have government compensate landowners when zoning and land use laws...
This is a gripping story. Everyone is on the edge of their seats.
...reduce the value of their property.
This email says, Rick, I will punch Tim Riley in the face if he ever leaves again. Don't take it personally, Scotty.
I think Scotty's doing an excellent job.
I need to learn how to read.
Yes.
You're 40, hun.
All right.
More audio was to follow there, so I guess I'll redo that sentence again. So here we go.
You have the emphasis for
it. It says Jackson weight loss.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just skip right straight to that.
All right, let's hear about zoning laws.
She was pretty strict. She had between 1,150 and 1,450 calories a day. See, also worked out 6 days a week.
I don't understand any of this news. What has Tim left you to work with?
Okay, first of all, that soundbite comes later, so we'll go ahead and catch up with what he was talking about there. Singer Janet Jackson is back to fighting form. The pop star tells Us Weekly that after ballooning up to 180 pounds, that she has lost 60 pounds in 4 months. The magazine's senior editor, Bradley Jacobs, says Jackson took the weight off the old fashioned way.
The best part is as you're inflecting up, you are literally, he's taking his hands and he's going like, whoa, as though you're like doing a chin up or something. All right. So do that last sentence again with the inflection.
Jackson took the weight off the old fashioned way.
She was pretty strict. She had between 1,150 and 1,450 calories a day. She also worked out 6 days a week.
Jackson also tells us that she gained the weight for a role in the upcoming movie Tennessee. Due to scheduling conflicts, she had to drop out of the picture. Jackson will release the single Call on Me with rapper Nelly June 19th. Her new album, 20 Years Old, will arrive in stores in September. Jackson's complete interview with Us Weekly is on newsstands today.
This email just says, stop it, Jesus, Jesus, stop it. Here's another one, my ears are bleeding. How about this one? I will kill Scotty J when he leaves the building today.
That wouldn't be the first time.
Okay. How about this? Can we replace Scotty J with the Starbucks song for the duration of this City Desk update? All right, why don't you do one more, and then we'll let you regroup, and then we'll bring you back at the bottom of the hour.
Well, sounds good. This particular story is about X-Men action reaching a climax this weekend with the third installment of the comic book adventure trilogy, X-Men: The Last Stand. In the latest adventure,
you just clenched your fist a little bit when you said "Last Stand." You were like, "Last Stand!"
Yeah,
you were rocking it.
In this latest adventure, a cure for mutancy causes a rift between.
I'm sorry.
Mutancy.
Okay.
Mutancy. That's right.
All right.
Causes a rift between mutants and threatens the world. Hugh Jackman reprises his role as Wolverine in The Last Stand. Jackman says the mutant's power is a double-edged sword.
Even though the X-Men have powers that seem so cool, every one of them, because of their power, is alienated, separated, and unhappy with it, too. I mean, look at Rogue's character. She's arguably one of the most powerful. And yet there's a human being that can't touch people, can never have children, can never make love, can never kiss, you know. I mean, it's a pretty horrible prospect.
The horror. X-Men, The Last Stand.
What's that?
I added that.
All right.
A little spice.
Do I have something in my teeth?
Something, like, big and green in your teeth. Were you just eating? I hope you were eating, because there's something in there. Oh my God! What is that?
I don't know.
It's huge.
I can't open my mouth.
Like blue or
look
gray.
Away. Look away. I'm hideous.
Wait, move your hand.
When did this show go to hell today? I can't move my hands. There's something big and green in my teeth.
The minute Tim left.
Right. Move your hand.
Okay, everyone, look away. Scott, look away.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's like one of Muppet's little like greenies.
Thank you. I like being compared to your dog. I'm just gonna hide behind the microphone over here. No, look away.
No, we gotta figure out what that is.
I don't want you poking at my teeth.
I'm not touching you. What is that though?
I don't know.
God.
We got
coffee cups falling everywhere, and
I don't know. It's a thing. All right, this has become the gayest, worst show. Tim can never leave again. Do you realize this show was going fine, and then as soon as he left, the Dixie Chick song wouldn't play. The computer started to crash. Scotty J is in here doing the news.
Please get out of your teeth.
Yeah, Sarah's trying to clean my teeth like a gibbon.
Please face that way when you talk.
Oh, it's a piece of spinach.
God.
This is the kind of thing that gets you a 50 share. All right, go ahead.
What did you do with it? Did you just throw it on the ground?
No.
God, you're gross.
Yes. Here you go.
Well, back to the X-Men. The Last Stand also stars Halle Berry, Kelsey Grammer, Ian McKellen.
Done. You're done.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're done.
You should leave.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Scotty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty J. There you go. Moving on. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. By the way, we're going to be... If you like this program and would like to hear more of it, don't forget we're going to be here live on Monday as part of the upcoming three-day weekend. Everybody else is going to be giving you the same old crap and the alleged best ofs. We will be here providing brand new crap on Monday. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFeverRadio.com.
We built this Starbucks.
Our good friend Scott Daly, film reviewer for the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
I'm well. I will have you know that we...
Is there something wrong with your head? You have like a little congested sound going on there.
Do I?
You sound congested to you?
He's always kind of congested sounding.
All right. You're wearing Scotty J's $300 headphones.
I am, and they're lovely.
Yeah, okay.
Every sound of the world is drowned out except...
You know what, that microphone's been acting up all day.
The microphone is acting a little weird, though.
Is it the mic?
All right. How are things in the land of FilmFeverRadio.com?
Things are great. We have our seventh show. Film Fever Radio Episode 7 is up and going, and Aaron and I really get into the atrocious... mess that was X-Men the last time.
Well, because now X-Men 3, is, and I should be fair, I mean, the full disclosure, I did not care for the first X-Men film. And I watched the second one on HBO, and that could take or leave. But this, as soon as Brett Ratner was brought on board as the director, everybody, because he did Rush Hour, right? That's what he's kind of known for.
Yeah.
And everybody knew this was going to suck.
He did Red Dragon, too.
Yeah.
It's although X-Men, I'm a casual X-Men fan, okay? I read a few of the comics growing up, saw the cartoons. It really wasn't really into it. But I liked the first two films. And our show this week really is interesting because Aaron, being a comic book guy, really likes X-Men. So there's kind of two sides of the sword on this one. But this one is just, there's too much going on.
Well, because there are a
million story arcs happening in this film.
Well, am I wrong about this? There are like 500 X-Men, right? That was the problem with the first one. There's so many characters.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, for me, unless you are really schooled in the comics, it's just impossible to follow.
I can't follow. I mean, you gradually see some of the X-Men who are more predominant in this film in the last two kind of grown up a little bit, but there's way too much going on in X-Men: The Last Stand, and that's the problem with it. Is you've got two major stories, one being the Phoenix. The rise of Jean Grey.
I can hear women tuning out as we speak. I can actually
Sarah's done already.
Manicured fingers reaching for the knob and turning the station off. But go ahead.
Well, you've got that story. And you got The Cure, which Scotty J just reported about, where there is a pharmaceutical company finds a quote-unquote cure for being a mutant. And so those are two huge storylines. And then you've got a million other things going on at the same time. I don't really blame Brett Ratner as a whole for this film because he kind of got himself into a big old mess to begin with, but you can't not blame him because the directing was very uninspired and a little boring. The writing was horrible. The writing was just down.
In an X-Men film, I'm surprised.
But
I'm stunned.
No, the first two were good.
You're wrong about that.
No, you were wrong about that. The first two were decent.
Oh. Here comes the slap fight.
You wanted me to come in with a film review. Here it is, my friend.
No, it's true.
Okay, Mr. Big Pants. You've come in with one review, and we've been back on the air for 2 months.
Seriously, this is the first review you've given to our listeners in almost 2 years, I think.
Oh, come on.
We were off the air for a year.
Like a year and a half.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I guess it just seems like they're trying to take so much story and so many characters, trying to boil it down into one film.
And that's what's happening.
Ian McKellen, though, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, I mean, it's like anytime those guys are on the screen, it's got to be good, though, because they've got to be good.
Two, possibly three highlights of the film. The first highlight, Ian McKellen. He is fantastic as Magneto, as always. And if there was a shorter shooting schedule for this for him, but he really came in and really, really did a great job with it. Kelsey Grammer does a great job in this film as Beast. And again, me not being an X-Men guy, I have no idea what the backstory behind Beast is or what that's all about. But he did a really, really nice job. Patrick Stewart was good, but there were times where it kind of felt like he was kind of phoning it in.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm here.
Patrick Stewart totally strikes me as one of those guys who just is in it for the paycheck now.
Yeah.
And not just in this, just in everything.
I read an interview with him where he was sad that he's one of the only distinguished British actors who didn't get asked to be in Harry Potter.
Really?
His feelings are hurt.
So now forevermore he's embittered and he just doesn't care.
Yeah. Exactly.
He seems like one of those guys who has probably made so much money. He's like an Anthony Hopkins. You know, he just sits around. Because you hear about so many actors that they become famous and they make this money and they don't ever stop to enjoy it. They never live the good life. They're always just trying to crank out their next project or whatever.
And when is Patrick Stewart going to get knighted? I mean, Anthony Hopkins is a knight.
I don't know.
Ian McKellen's a knight.
Patrick Stewart seems like one of those guys that probably made a pile of money and just sits around in a chateau somewhere having sex with 18-year-old girls and swilling wine. And just, you know, what? You want me to be an X-Men? No, no problem. And he shows up and he engage. And then that's it. And then he gets the check and then he's done. Yeah. So,
you know, and there's, so those three are really the standout performances. Halle Berry, once again, a complete waste of time and effort.
No.
Hugh Jackman was, he really just wasn't there. I mean, it wasn't very interesting, which is too bad because I love the Wolverine character. And I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. It just, in this film, there was really nothing for him to do. Same can be said for the girl who played Rogue.
When is the last time, not counting Monsters Ball, that Halle Berry was in a good film? Halle Berry is one of the, just laughing openly. Halle Berry is one of those, Halle Berry is one of those people that we somehow, it's like, you know what it
Catwoman.
Is? Thank you.
All right, Sarah Dillon.
It's like we all got slipped a roofie by her. You know, for one, cause like I was saying, like for one night, we all thought she was good. Mm-hmm. Like when she won the Oscar, we're like, oh no, she's a genius. And then it's, you know, it's like with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Same thing. And Louise Fletcher from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know? That's, same thing where it's like you kind of go, oh, she's a genius. And no, she's crap.
It's
you know,
the
and
Oscar that's her curse.
That's totally what it is. I think it's just, it was the right role of the director, cause I don't think she's ever made, other than Monsters Ball, I don't think Halle Berry's ever made a good film.
If you're a fairly new and upcoming actor and get recognized, you get an Oscar, that's the kiss of death for your career.
It's like winning the best new artist.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you're an established actor and you get the Oscar, you can continue, but that's another story.
All right. So there you go.
Well, another thing about X-Men 3, this is interesting.
Oh, please, because I just want to... Are you just trying to compensate? Is
yes,
this because you haven't had a film for like 3 months and
yes,
so you're going to talk
I
about
am.
X-Men 3 for 45 minutes?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Our whole show, FilmFeverRadio.com episode 7 is about X-Men 3 because we just...
Be still my beating heart.
It bothered us so much.
Because you hated it so much.
I mean, that's the great thing about a bad film is it's really fun to talk about.
Is it bad enough to be enjoyable?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really.
So there you go.
Not really.
So
it's disappointing.
With the premise of the cure, you know, for this mutation, is it... Mm-hmm. Do you see it as comparing... Do you see it as being compared to anything that's like socially relevant today? Like,
No.
see it?
No.
That was like a coin newscaster question right there.
Impressive.
You were totally stepping in with the.
Well,
Scott,
no, it seems like it could be insinuating something like a cure for, you know, something.
This
different.
Film has
for being one of the gays.
Yeah.
Just say it. Just say it. That's, I mean, that's what we're
for
all
being
thinking.
Kelsey Grammer and being blue and hairy.
That's what we're all thinking right there. So
this film holds no social quality values at all whatsoever.
No, there's nothing. No, I think that's a people trying to.
And as Aaron and I walked out of the screening of X-Men: The Last Stand, the screening was last night. There was a midnight showing, and there were the X-Men geeks all dressed up in their little Wolverine costumes.
That's just sad.
They're out there in the parking
just
lot
sad.
Playing wall ball and just hanging out. And I just like, I want to go over there and say, I'm so sorry, kids.
Saying you're never going to get laid ever.
Not just that, but they're going to, you know, in 6 hours, they were going to be sorely disappointed walking out of that theater.
Hey, speaking of sorely disappointed, Scotty J is coming back at the City Desk here in just a few. We got to do the thing. We got to break.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of meatloaf.
Yes. Rick, the J and Scott must stand for bore. Okay. What the hell is he droning on about? I'm going to get a cup of coffee. Be right back. Says some guy. All right. This email. I love Scotty J. Signed, no one. All right. Lancaster 3, world famous Phil Hendry show at 7. You stay there. We got Scott Daly from PhilFeverRadio.com. We're still going to give away Steven Seagal tickets. Stay there. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere. All right, so Rick Emerson Show live from Portland at 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, the Scotty J fan club will be meeting at the ledge at the top of the Coin News Tower later. Would he like to come meet some of his biggest fans? Jeff in Vancouver. All right, there you go. 503-733-2970. We are here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Like us at Three World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't forget, we will be here live doing a program on Monday because the Rick Emerson Show cares deeply about all of you. Here's what we got to get done. This will never happen. We got to... Okay, we have to get these Steven Seagal tickets given away. It has to happen. So the question is, what is the proper method for giving away a pair of Steven Seagal tickets? Oh, is this the making a scene? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You never know with that because it's a difficult thing. That's a difficult task to ask people to do.
Well, you do have that mystery sound.
Yeah. Oh, I have the mystery sound, which, by the way, and I should cop to this right away, that is a bit that Don and Mike used to do years ago.
Okay.
But I did not...
Well, I know that we were discussing other ways to give them away, but we have 20 minutes left of the show. Another commercial break and news and Scott Daly to get
right.
to.
Let's
just do something quick and painless.
Let's just do the news here, quick and painless to see. Well, here's the thing. If we give you the Steven Seagal tickets, you got to actually be willing to go. And here's the deal. We're going to put your name at wheel call. You got to actually be willing to go. It is Sunday night at Dante's to see blues legend and best interview of the century, Steven Seagal. You got to go, and you got to be willing to give us a recap on Monday of the action. So we'll do that here in just a moment. Let's go to the city desk with the guy. There you go, Scotty J.
Bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city news desk with cub reporter Scotty J. That would be me.
All right.
You know, I got my own news here.
Did you bring your own?
I brought my own news.
Okay.
Local and relatable news.
Okay, fantastic.
It seems like Salem and Clackamas County is the happening place for news today in Oregon. Three women in Salem arrested for prostitution via the advertisement they had on Craigslist. Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay.
Want to take that anywhere?
So this is relatable audience because
that.
They patronize hookers? This is relatable because most of my audience are felons.
Relatable and local, that is. It's local news.
Okay.
Rather. It's more local than relatable.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
A truck crashes in Clackamas County after trying to cross one of their little bridges and spills hydraulic fluid into the Columbia River. Next.
So these aren't so much news stories as they are headlines.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. We two armed masked men... robbed the Cozy Inn off Fisher Road.
Two armed match men?
Yes. Two
as opposed to the one armed, as opposed to being robbed by Rick Allen.
Z.
Oh. You can't say Z. There you go.
Yes, they robbed the Cozy Inn off Fisher Road in Salem. All right, I have no comment on it. It's just short and sweet news. That's what we're doing. Today.
Okay.
Short and sweet with Scotty J.
That way we get through it real quick. And Portland
residents... doesn't feel that way somehow.
Portland residents, be on the lookout. Your sewer bill is going up from $43 to $45 a month.
You have really nailed the sort of compelling news that we find keeps people glued to the Rick Emerson Show.
Did you get any watches or
this
anything?
This news is sexy. It's the only word for it.
The only watch I've got is a settlement with Oregon state officials for $22 million. We'll kick off a bon voyage celebration of the new Carissa, the freighter ship that hit the ground in 99 and leaked 70,000 gallons.
You want to get lunch somewhere later?
Yeah, totally.
Oil. Okay. Get like a sandwich or something. Hi. I'm sorry. Are you?
What was
that's
that?
It.
How was that
that's,
a watch?
That's,
and
that's it.
Okay.
In
you're
the city
done.
Desk.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I quit. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
You quit your free job.
All right. No, really, it was...
You know what?
I was listening, knowing it was...
Tim left us in a lurch, and Scotty J stepped up to the plate, and he has handwritten news stories.
Actually, there's one...
And if you just listen, and you know, it was just like Oscar Wilde, really.
There's actually one story from Monday that was pretty funny, speaking about Carissa. Allison Carissa, a Multnomah County inmate, escaped early morning while on a work crew in West Lynn. She ran through a neighborhood, threw her orange sweatshirt on a chain-link fence, and then proceeded to knock on a door in the neighborhood. And the homeowners opened, and she said her boyfriend was trying to beat her up. Another neighbor called police, and when the police arrived, they called the house and told them to open the garage door. And lo and behold, Carissa was enjoying what looks to be her last smoke.
There you go. Thank you. Moving on now.
Thank you, Scotty.
There you go. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Don't feel compelled to clap. 503-733-2970. There you go. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com joining us here again.
you know, I do want to say, I would like to hear Tim Riley's early news days. Give the man a break.
To be fair, I've got this email. Where did it go? I have this email, and this is from our good friend. This is from our good friend Todd the Corpse.
Oh, we had to play his Man on the Street too.
I don't know if we have time. We may have to bump it next week.
I mean, he hand wrote his news on a. Well, piece of notebook paper.
Listen to this email. He says, Rick, why do you have to bust on Scotty J? Why don't you interrupt your little snark fest and whip out some of your glorious Pet Patrol segments, huh? And you didn't even have to do those standing next to someone who's just waiting to make fun of every mistake. Lighten up, Chuckles. Give Scotty a break or he'll be standing on the roof with a rifle waiting for you to walk out of the building one day. I'm just saying. That's Todd the Corpse.
Come on!
All right. Scott, he needs a hug. Scott, you should hug Scott.
No. There's no hugging going on. No, you know, Scott, you're a good man. You know, but
there's a nice firm handshake. It's right. Very masculine. Okay.
We got this. Rick, I went to see X-Men 3 last night. I attended the midnight show with a large group of people who met at my local comic book store beforehand and made an event of it. One guy gelled his hair in the shape of Wolverine's, although his glasses and 300-pound girth set him back a bit. One guy wore a frilly red pirate shirt, a maroon velvet cape, and a Magneto helmet, and was extremely drunk.
I saw a girl with Magneto helmet made of tinfoil. So,
God.
Yeah.
The theater was showing X-Men 3 on 6 screens, most of which were sold out. The line for popcorn was 30 minutes long. I wish someone had told me not to go. I wish I had listened to them. I wish I could unwatch those 2 hours and wish we could pretend that this movie was never made. I wish that the studio executives would come out laughing from behind the curtains and tell us it was a big joke, that the real movie was about to start. Come on, guys, they would say in my fantasy. You know we'd never release this as the actual film. But alas, like when Joel Schumacher destroyed the Batman franchise, we sat dismayed as the credits rolled. This is quite possibly the worst sequel since Highlander 2. And yes, I am counting Batman and Robin. Yep. It was pure crap. Signed, Ryan. So
I'm going to quote Aaron Durant here when I say this is going to be the X-Men fans' Batman and Robin. This is it. Totally.
There you go.
It's horrible.
It's glorious.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. If I should read any more of these emails.
I should say, quote Aaron Durant from FilmFeverRadio.com.
FilmFeverRadio.com, which is episode what is up?
Episode 7.
All right.
It's up and ready to go.
Let's see. Rick, when did Tim get clipped? Is that what happens to your voice after the procedure? If that is the case, then I will keep mine attached. The subject under this email is Scotty J, and then the body just says, kill me. All right, how about this? Scotty J, I think his news and voice sound hot. I would totally press my womanly curves against him in high praise for his mad skills. He is the sexiest sounding guy I have ever heard on the radio.
Love, Steve.
No. No, it's from a woman.
Bob.
And then it says below it, actually, no, I just feel sorry for him. Everyone hates him.
We don't hate
Rick,
him.
You bring the poor guy up and then just
email.
Drop
I can't
you
control.
You don't have to read the whole
I
email.
I can't control the email.
He could go home this weekend thinking, hey, there's some chick out there who likes my voice.
Not now.
But no, it's destroyed.
No.
You crushed him what
yonks
again.
Going back
again.
Up to the roof.
No.
Going to the book repository.
All right. Okay, so... It's all good.
I am starting to really feel bad.
No. It's all just the unvarnished voice of the people. You want to hear my early newscasts.
Well, let's hear it. Bust them out.
I don't have them here.
Oh.
No, I do not have mine.
How convenient.
I do not have mine from Kay Hay. All right. We do have his Man on the Street segment to get to. Here's the thing about the Man on the Street segment. It's a couple minutes long. And then we got the song to play, though, too. So I wonder if we have to, because we got to do that
song?
And the Steven Seagal, because it's with a band, right? It is with a band. And we got another break to do as well. All right, so here's what we're going to do.
It's a lot.
And we've got to
show.
Take the break here. Here's what I want you to do. If you want, I can't believe I'm saying this, if you really want to go see blues legend Steven Seagal at Dante's, here's what you need to do. You need to call 503 733-2970.
They're lighting up right now.
503-733-2970. The phones are going to burn.
They're fired up.
We've got one line available. 503-733-2970. If you want to go see Steven Seagal at Dante's. Now, here's the thing. We're going to take, we'll go ahead and take, like, the fifth caller here. But you got to tell us why. You look at that, they're all lit.
They're all lit up.
Who wants to go see Steven Seagal that badly? Who are you people? What's wrong with you? All right, I'll tell you what. We'll take the fifth caller here. We'll find out why you want to go see Steven Seagal. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Hey, nothing. Oh, hello. I had to report you on space. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day. Final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget, Monday we will be here live on Memorial Day. Clyde Lewis will also be here. Scotty J, will you be here today? Today, on Monday? Yes. All right, so there you go. We regrettably, we won't have time for Scotty's man on the street thing today. We'll have to get to that Monday. So we will do that. What? Sarah's making... Oh, we should get him drunk? Who?
Scotty J and Clyde.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
That would be a violation of our human resources policy.
Yes, because there'll be so many people here to watch us on Monday.
Well, I mean, now there will be.
Rick, I would like to propose that we have our Emerson Army members who are far flung across the world and can't join us in Portland take pictures of themselves throwing devil horns across something in their hometown.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea. P.S.F. Scotty J. with Matt. There you go. All right. All right, there you go. I talked to her. It was funny. I was just talking to her in the break, and I was, that's a pleasant image, by the way. Thank you for putting that in my head, Dave. I was just talking to Scotty.
Stop visualizing it.
I was talking to Scotty during the break.
He can't help himself.
I was telling him, like, man, everybody gets it on the show. First of all, nobody gets it worse than me. Secondly, every new person on the show, they go through this where the audience just beats them senseless.
I was telling Scott during the break, I used to go home and cry when I was the intern. Honestly, it was terrible.
That'll make the audience happy in a small, sick way. You made her cry.
I got a little beating for a while.
Dude,
I did.
Well, that's because your first day on the show, you said you preferred Wyatt Earp to Tombstone,
that's
and it was
true.
Open season.
I opened the door.
It was
for that
open season.
Yeah.
Do you remember how bad Kyle used to get it?
Oh yeah.
I'm still surprised Kyle didn't come in and kill us all. So I mean, you know. So there you go.
But you got to give Scotty J props because, all the crap
he keeps
that he
going.
Gets,
he doesn't let it get
does
to
it.
Him. He doesn't let it get to him.
He's got the sounders.
Provoking the audience to be even crueler. He hasn't snapped yet.
He's still strong.
No one's made him cry. Bye.
No, I think he cries in his van. Where no one can see.
Could you help me with this couch?
Weeping behind the tinted windows of the mobile DJ van.
The white windowless van.
He's writing on the screen. I drink myself to sleep. See, that's why we love that guy.
With a Xanax chaser.
Okay.
All right, let's get rid of these. I mean, give away these things all together.
All right. Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you blonde?
I am.
Of course you are. I have this whole theory about Marissas, by the way. We don't have time to get into it now. But, all right, what celebrity would you say you most resemble, Marissa?
Oh, who's that chick from Taxi? Mary Lou Henner?
Yeah. Well, Scott and I are all like, look at that. Good times. But blonde?
I'm glad she didn't say Steven Seagal.
Well, I just got my hair done today. So.
Remember that Tony Danza chick from Taxi?
Jimmy Gutowski.
All right, so here's the question. So we have some other people here, so if you fail to be impressive, we'll have to move on. But so we have a pair of Steven Seagal tickets, blues legend Steven Seagal. They'll be performing at Dante's on Sunday. Why should you go to see Steven Seagal?
Well, I am going because my boyfriend and my best friend, who's a guy, they love Steven Seagal and think he's everything, and they can't wait to go see him. And they've been laughing, saying that there's nobody in the audience, even if he's horrible, that would ever say you suck.
So you're saying, no, are you going to be that person?
Well, I would like to encourage somebody to say it. I'll be working some guys to, you know, that are drinking to go up to him and try and get them to do it.
So you're a heckle encourager.
So you, right. So if we give you this pair of tickets, you will encourage someone to heckle Steven Seagal.
I will encourage several people.
Really?
Absolutely.
Can you sweeten the pot to make her heckle him?
You will give us your sacred word that you will encourage someone who is drunk to heckle Steven Seagal, and then on Monday you must call with the recap of the show.
I would love to.
All right. So, all right, Marissa. I'll tell you what, that's good enough for me. The possibility of heckling and violence that I don't have to be a part of. All right, so there you go. So, Marissa, we are going to put you on hold. And thank you. There you go. And Scotty J will be getting your information. So don't go anywhere. And we'll
thank
talk
you.
To you on Monday. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Scotty, if you want to get information. All right, our thanks and apologies to the others who called it. She won my heart right off the bat, though.
Yeah, she was the first caller.
She was our caller, yeah. She was our first caller five, and we had others sort of in escrow in case she hadn't, in case she didn't have anything good. But
she said she looked like Mary Lou Henner, so.
That's what I'm saying. And I got a whole thing about the name Marissa anyway. we'll lay it out some
and
other day.
And good thing you didn't tell her that you thought Marissa's were sluts.
It's not that they're sluts as such. No, but and no. Look, here's the thing. Every just long story.
I've never known a Marissa.
No, long. Oh man, I have.
How are the Marissas in the Tri-Cities?
Every Melissa. Every Marissa I ever look. I'm just saying. I've known like six different Marissas, and they were all. Oh. They were all. I don't want to say it. We'll talk about it later. I don't have time because it's going to turn
this
into
is
a
an
whole thing.
Off-air topic.
This is an inside voice kind of thing. Don't forget, we will be here live on Monday. Scott Daly. Whore.
FilmFeverRadio.com, Episode 7. Aaron Duran and I talk about the train wreck that is X-Men The Last Stand. And we also do one more segment of our Director of the Month, which is David Fincher.
All right. So
good stuff. Go to FilmFeverRadio.com. Download the program. Subscribe to the podcast. It's probably the best show we've ever done.
Hey. I gotta keep turning
your mic off by mistake.
All right. Hey, so don't forget, we will be here live on Monday, on Memorial Day, doing our thing. Clyde Lewis will be in the studio with us. Tim Riley, thank God, we're back. Scotty J, though.
A bottle of vodka.
He will be here.
And a shotgun.
He will be here drinking and weeping. The studio in the hallway. Have yourself a good weekend. We will see you on Monday at noon. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. We want to thank Lisa Goddard from CNN, Jim Root from CNN, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, Tim Riley in the newsroom, Scotty J in the newsroom / screening calls. Like us next, Phil Henry Show at 7. We'll see you Monday at noon. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back on Monday. Don't let the bastards drain out. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.